There's a noun that we use. Normalcy. Yeah, what's that? Normal, right? Normalcy, the condition of being normal. Who is that? Sometimes I look at myself and I think, man, there's nothing normal about me, right? You know, when I was in college, I had to take a class. I took a couple psychology classes, and actually I liked it. I did very well in psychology. And one of the classes, it just seemed like it was just my class right there. And it just fit me perfect. And it was abnormal psychology. So I learned a lot about myself in that class. But, you know, the condition of being normal, the state of being usual or typical or expected, we witnessed this past year, you know, I will say this past year has really been nothing, is anything but normal, really. You know, the last couple years, it's not. We've experienced something that's just not normal. We would consider it an abnormal condition. You know, we've been under a relentless attack from the accuser of all things demonic, and I believe that. This is all what he does, all right, to stir things up. You know, death and destruction and mayhem have been the mainstream we see in the media and all over the world. We are witnessing nothing new, though. This is not new. This has been going on for thousands of years, and this is what the accuser does. He has been stirring up stuff for a thousand years. You know, but instead of being isolated incidents because of this digital age, we can see things going on all over the world, can't we? Not like it was a thousand years ago. I mean, and I think about some of the things. How can the whole world see these martyrs killed in the book of Revelation? You've read that? And I think about, look at where we're at today, the digital world. I mean, we know things going on in Afghanistan and China and all over. It's like minutes after it happens, seconds after it happens. And I think this age that we're living in today, man, I tell you what, it brings Scripture to life to me. You know, in the beginning of this pandemic, many Scriptures were posted, you know, reading on Facebook and different, you know, you had all these posts. People were just, man, reading their Bibles a lot, weren't they? 2 Chronicles 7:14 was one of them I saw a lot. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You know, I saw that prayer over and over again, that scripture posted. You know, Christians all over the world began to quote Scripture and cry out to Jesus for protection and healing and for humanity and for our country, especially. But then, normalcy tried to creep in and set up house in everyone's life, and far too many let the idea of normalcy dictate their terms for living. You know, for years, far too many have lived in this with the idea that if it's not affecting me or my family, it's okay. You know, that's exactly really the mindset that our accuser wants us to have. You know, age is said to bring wisdom, and one thing Christians should be aware of this by now is even if the attack of darkness is not directly affecting you, it's affecting someone you know. Amen? Amen? There's people that are sick here this morning that could not come to church. And it may not have affected you directly this morning, but it affects that person that we know and their family. And it does affect, I mean, look how many we have here this morning. So it does affect us in ways, right? You know, and even without feeling the direct effects of the attack, you're affected little by little, infected without even being aware of it sometimes. All this coupled with the worst election cycle, I believe, that we ever saw in history. You know, You know, no matter what your affiliation is, and I hope I know what it is, but what we've witnessed has been a battle of the heavenlies and of the spiritual matters being played out in real time right in front of our very eyes. Amen. Businesses were shut down. Schools have been closed. You can go to the casino and gamble all your money away, and you can go protest in the streets and burn businesses down, but they tell you you can't go to church? I mean, come on.
No. Yes.
But all this is not new. Many think that the battle is over, but I can tell you right now the battle's far from being over. One of these days, it will be over. But not until that time comes. Amen? You know, we don't battle against each other, and a lot of times we want to pick on each other. But Paul said, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers that be. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing these battles go on. And I'm telling you, Scripture is being fulfilled right before our eyes. What we are witnessing and have witnessed is the precursor of the things that are to come. And only the things to come have never been closer before than right now. Let me tell you, we need to prepare our families for what's to come. I really feel called that was really my calling. You know, I never thought of myself, I've shared this many times, I never thought of myself that I would ever be a pastor. Maybe a song leader, maybe that. I've always been involved in church. You know, I've always enjoyed, always felt like there was something I needed to do and I was compelled to do it. And whatever I was asked of, I always said yes. But let me tell you, I think that we are called for this time right now to prepare for what's to come. We need to prepare our families for what's to come. Amen?
Amen.
That's our job right here. There's things that are going to happen in the future that are going to be beyond our comprehension. 50 years ago, when our grandfathers and grandmothers sat in church and heard these stories, it was hard for them to understand what we understand today. But we were called for this time this morning. This is not even in my notes. But I feel compelled that this is what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be united as a church family. And I'm not just saying just because just Nazarenes. I'm talking about Christians worldwide, nationwide, in our communities. We need to unite together. There's only going to be one type of person in heaven. And that's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, Joshua witnessed something similar to what we have all been a part of and witnessed back in his day. You know, for Moses had led God's people out of slavery and bondage and told them God had better plans for them, plans to prosper them and a better way of life and a better place for them to live. But God had plans to make Israel a great nation. But on the way, what should have been a sure victory or a two or three week journey turned out to be a 40-year wandering around in the wilderness. Left turns and right turns. But what we find is people began to complain about what they didn't have and thought they were entitled to. Follow me this morning. You want to know what's wrong with our nation today? People think they're entitled to too many things. Wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Here we find that They said they were thirsty, and God quenched their thirst with all the water they could drink. And they said that they were hungry, and God satisfied their hunger with all the manna they could eat. They said they wanted the meat to go with their bread, so God provided quail in an unlimited quantities. They begged for healing after being bit by fiery snakes, and God provided a bronze serpent that they could look at and be healed. Miracle after miracle, God delivered them each and every time for what they asked for. But they continued to moan and groan and complain about the way things were and how bad they had it and how they had things better when they were even in slavery. Can you imagine that? Thinking that slavery was better than freedom? You follow along with me this morning. There's people today that would rather fall into slavery than to have their freedom. Even if the attack of darkness is not directly affecting you, it's affecting someone you know. And even without feeling the direct effects of the attack, you're affected little by little. Affected without even being aware of it sometimes. You know, Moses died before he ever reached the promised land and did all the, you know, as did most of all the complainers. You think about that. And the ones who felt like they were entitled to everything they didn't have. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the ones who stepped up and spoke up. And when the spies were finally sent to go and scout out the promised land, there was 10 that returned saying the task was too great and it was impossible. And only Joshua and Caleb said that they could go and take the land filled with milk and honey. Realizing the potential and ability to inhabit and enjoy what God had always intended for them. You know, a word from God will give you the courage to stand up and the strength to say we can overcome even when others say we can't overcome. That's my point this morning. A lot of people are saying you can't do this. Oh, it's bad. Oh, you're going to be, you know, you're going to get sick if you do this and you're going to, yeah. You might get sick. But one word from God is all we'll ever need. As long as we're willing to hang on to the word and never let go. You know, the plans that God has for whosoever is willing to be a part of His plans for them and believe God can do what He says He will do. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God will do what He says He will do? You know, in when Joshua marched around, he was told this is what you do. If you want to be successful, this is what you do. It said, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. This is in Joshua 6, 1 through 5. No one went out. And no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets and rams and horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. You know, the directions were very implicit. You know, God gives us directions. He tells us what we should be doing. He just says, if you'll do these things, man, I'll take care of you. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what the word says?
Amen.
Yes. He says, if you call on my name, you shall be saved. Isn't that one thing he says? I mean, are we doers of the word? Are we hearers of the word? He says, do this and victory is assured. And you know what history says? The historians tell us that Jericho was a heavily fortified city, and many thought that Jericho was indefensible. Nobody would ever take Jericho. But God's instructions were simple and to the point, do as you're told and victory is assured for all. You know, if we'll just do what God is telling us, amen?
Amen.
If we just trust Him simply, that's one of the big ones right there. Can you trust God this morning? Can you really trust Him? It goes on to say, the armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark, and all this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, and do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. Now, that went on for 6 days. How many of us would be that dedicated to do what God said for 6 days in a row? If God gave you a word? I think of those things. Are we living on our entitlements? Are we really dedicated people to God? Has God ever given you a word you were going to come out on top and of an impossible situation and win? Have you ever felt like that, I know that God is going to see me through this? Was there ever any doubt along the way to the victory? You know, I would say, of course there's doubt, because there's always doubt. Doubt's everywhere. Sometimes it's clear. Sometimes it's more visible, like a heavy fog, completely blocking our vision, taking our focus off of God's promise for our lives. And I think that's what this pandemic has done. It's blocked our vision of what, taking our focus off of what we should be focusing on sometimes. You know, those folks were human back then, just like we're human today. God created us, and God knows us better than anyone else. That's why God both prepared and gave us all a measure of faith. Because God knew that there would be times it would even be hard to come up with and use an amount of faith that He gave us, let alone our faith alone, we could add to our own self. We can't do things on our own, is what I'm trying to say. On the seventh day, they got up and at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times and in the same manner, except that on the day they circled the city 7 times, the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Do you ever feel like shouting? Do you ever feel like saying, praise God, I'm taking this, right? I'm claiming victory. Amen?
Amen.
Do you ever feel like that in your heart, in your soul? That I can shout, I'm claiming victory. Why? Because God told me that He would give me victory. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in and they took the city. You know, that was all done by what? Not by Joshua, but one united group of people shouting together. You follow me this morning?
Amen.
How important is it for us to be united? Because when we shout together, the walls come down. Amen? Victory is ours. We sing a lot of songs claiming that. Amen? There's victory in Jesus. We claim those songs that we sing. We love those songs. But do we really believe what is said? Is there doubt in your life? Yeah, I would say, yeah, we all have that doubt. You know, one moment of faith is equal to a mustard seed. And that's enough faith to move mountains, amen? You think about that. You know, I believe that we are witnessing a moral decay and a falling away from the things of God in this world we now live in. Sometimes I think, how can it get any worse? But I'm not surprised by anything that happens anymore. But yet on a moment by moment, we witness the reality and effects of a continual attack of the accuser. We stand idly by doing nothing about the way things are. You know, we need to get out of the mindset of I am only one person, what can I do? Man, we're a mighty army. Chosen by God. Amen?
Amen.
We're soldiers. We are a majority, a force, with the power of God behind us. And I think we just need to claim victory. We need to shout out and say, we are victorious. You know, with our faith and our God-given ability to believe, united with God's endless abilities and willingness, we are the devil's worst nightmare. You believe that? You know, Elijah one time drew a line in the sand and he said, I'll show you who the one true living God is. And he did. He prepared an altar and he took 12 stones and built the altar and he arranged the wood and cut a bull into pieces and he laid it on the wood and then he filled 4 large jars with water and he poured the offering over the wood and he told the guys, he said, do it again. They did that 3 times and soaked the wood and there was so much water that it ran down and filled the trenches. It says, at the time of sacrifice, in 1 Kings 18, verse 36, it says, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are a God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God. And that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trenches. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You know, I'm but one person. But with my family, it makes me stronger. Amen. You know, I come and I preach and I try to do the best that I can to serve the Lord, teach my family. But I'm but one person. I pour my heart out to you this morning because I care about this church and I care about the people in this church. I've known many of you for many, many years. Got some good, faithful people here. Sometimes I think, can we be better? Can we do better? Do we really believe? When we come, what's the reason that we come to church? I mean, are we living out what we're instructed to do? What we teach, what we say, who we say we are, is that really what we do? Are we living that way? Do we really believe that God can do all things? I believe that in my heart. I believe I serve a God that nothing is impossible for Him. Amen? I believe if He says, I'll heal your land, I'll heal your land. I see such a disconnect from churches today. Our churches are struggling, not just in our district, but all over the United States. And I know I say this often, but the institution of the church is in decline. People are pulling out of churches all over the United States. And it hurts when I read stuff and I talk to other pastors and they're like, man, we're struggling. I hear of some churches that are really growing well, you know. But if you want to conform to this world, yeah, you will grow. I think, man, are we just being hypocritical? Are we really mean what we're saying? Are we really who we say we are? And that means I'm not talking about just on Sunday. We can come to church on Sunday and we can put on the show of a lifetime. I mean, we can jump pews and shout hallelujah and we can put on a show like nobody's ever seen before. Amen?
Amen.
We can have smoke machines and black lights and, man, we can put on a show. But when Monday comes, are we still that same person? Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are we that person at midnight and at 2 o'clock in the morning, the same person we are when we're at work with our coworkers? Are we that same person that is who we say we are? Are we leading our families in the direction that they should be led in? Are we preaching the gospel so that all nations can come to Christ, which is part of our belief here in the Nazarene Church? I want you to think about that. As it's been really on my heart, and I know this morning, I just feel, I don't know. It's not even, I'm just way out of my notes here. Because I feel like the Lord just wants me to say or just exactly what I said. Are we being who we say we are? There's more to this world than just what we see. You know, we are committed not to give up or give in to the way things seem to appear. That's what the accuser wants us to do. And I really believe that's why the Word says, don't conform to this world. We don't belong in this world. We're aliens in this world. God is telling you to stay steadfast, to keep on trusting Him to deliver you from what you are believing for. The impossible is getting ready to become possible, and the best is still yet to come. God is still on the throne, and He's never left the throne. Amen?
Amen. He never left it.
And I'm telling you this morning, I'm... Unite your God-given faith in the unlimited ability of the one true living God and become the overcomer you were always meant to be. I'm going to leave you with that this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I hope I spoke what you wanted me to, Lord. It was different. But Lord, I trust you. I trust in your word. I trust in you in all things. So Lord, let us go here better than we came. Lord, let us leave with the power of your Holy Spirit guiding us, not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, so that we can become overcomers. And not be affected by what's going on in this world because we know we're not part of this world. Lord, I praise you. Lord, let us be in one accord, together as one body, of united with you. Lord, we praise you again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.